look at it carefully and share with appropriate people. When you are going to, as we are going to be having a mentoring program in the church, right? That tells me something, that I will be an overall coordinator. Some of those things, you should run it through your overall coordinator, and there are certain procedures that should have been set in place on handling such matters anyway. Exactly.
Yes, sir.
So please, let it be done with wisdom and maturity. Then the sixth characteristic of servant leadership, which is demanded of every mentor, is character. Number one, character. They are looking up to you. So you must demonstrate character, courage, compassion, competence, conviction, and commitment. These six things are characteristics of servant leadership. And may I even say this to you? Do you know that you can actually have each of these as sessions? You can spend maybe 3 weeks or so on character. Then take a week or two break. Or you can even say 3 to 6 weeks on character and take 1 or 2 weeks break. Right? And then move on to courage, issues to do with courage. Now when I talk about, you know, servant leadership, remember we are talking about mentoring our young ones, and mentoring people is bringing them to the place of leadership, isn't it? When you are discipling people, you are discipling them in order to present them perfect before God, isn't it?
Yes,
in other words, you are making leaders out of them. So you want to build character in your young ones, you want to build courage, compassion, competence, conviction, and commitment. So each of them can be 6 week sessions with 1 or 2 weeks break in between. It's entirely up to you. I mean, if you are going to want to follow such a scheme. There are some mistakes that mentors make, which we must avoid at all costs. Number one, failure to start. The scripture said that he that observes the wind will not do what? Will not sow. Will not sow at all. Failure to start. Start now. Start today. Start early. And there's never a good time to start. You know, there's never a better time. It's always
now.
Do it now. And one good thing of doing it now is that those young people are not getting any younger. They're getting older by the day. Right? So the earlier you start, you know, the quicker you're able to raise leaders. Number two, you may think that you have to master all the principles before you can share them. You don't have to. You can actually grow with your proteges. You don't have to master all the principles before you can share them. You can grow with them. Another mistake is not making mentoring a high priority. And so you don't have regularly scheduled time for it. It's a big mistake. It's a high priority. Now, can I tell you something? When you mentor, you know what you're doing? You are leaving copies of yourself behind. Hello? That's what you do. Sociologists have come up with this statistic that on the average, everybody that reaches to a mature ripe age, on the average will influence 10,000 people in their lifetime. You get that? Now the question is this: which kind of influence have you left on them? Which kind of mark have you left on them? So mentoring schemes like this gives you the opportunity to leave godly marks. Is that right? Okay, the next one is that thinking that sessions must occur in a formal or academic setting. No, it doesn't have to. I've said it before that it can be very, you know, a casual environment will do very well. Another mistake is failure to pray regularly for their proteges. I'll tell you what, friends. The fruit you are going to get will be largely determined by how much you invest in it by prayer. In prayer and the word of God. The fruit of your mentoring. The legacy you leave. Another mistake is using parental authority in a heavy-handed way when mentoring your own children. When mentoring your own children, don't be heavy-handed. And do you know what? This is not just talking about mentoring or anything. In parenting your children, heavy-handedness does not work. You get it? In fact, that Deuteronomy chapter 6, which I mentioned earlier on, gives us it really helps us a lot. Verse 5, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. Verse 6, let the word be in your own heart. As you allow the word of God to be in your own heart, it shapes you. You understand that? You are modeling that life, and it becomes easy for your children to follow. When you've experienced grace, it becomes easier for you to be gracious. Isn't it? For by the works of the law will no man be justified. It's by grace that we've been saved. And the just shall live by faith. When all that is molded for your young ones, it will be easier for them to follow. Unwillingness to be transparent and vulnerable. This is a hard one. In mentoring, you have to be transparent. In other words, be real. Be real. If you're not transparent, you mean the, for them to know that I once did these kind of things before? You mean for them to find out that I struggle with this kind of stuff? Oh no, I have to be macho for them. You being vulnerable makes yourself real to them. You get it? They know they are dealing with flesh and blood. They know. Be real. Be transparent. It makes you a lot more genuine in what you're saying. Okay? There are three basic commitments of being a mentor. Three basic commitments of being a mentor. Number one, commitment to the person. Dustin Troutman said that more time with fewer people equals greater impact for God's kingdom. Dustin Troutman is the founder of Navigators. You know about the ministry, Navigators?
Yes.
He's the founder. More time with fewer people equals greater impact for God's kingdom. Do you know that it's much more easier to impress a lot of people in one go? But sharing life experience, application, and accountability is a much deeper approach. And you can only do that with a small group, one-on-one, or with just a handful of people. Think of Jesus. He spent most of his time with his close friends, isn't it? With the disciples. Now, can I ask you this? Which one would you rather have? Would you rather have, make your choice, a relationship that is a mile wide but an inch deep? Or a relationship that is an inch wide and a mile deep? Which one would you prefer? A mile deep and an inch wide, isn't it? Do you understand that? So going for crowd and going for those ones, it may make you very popular, but you leave nothing behind. You leave nothing behind. Do you know that? When you invest your life in two or three people, that investment multiplies and the with takes care of itself. Do you understand that? When you invest yourself in two or three people, that investment does what? Multiplies. And the with takes care of itself. Forget about the big crowd. Invest yourself in two, three people at a time. Draw them together. Pour yourself into them. Okay? And they will pour themselves into others. As that multiplies, guess what? You have the big crowd. The weak takes care of itself. Be more concerned about depth than width. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Now, let me give you a little example here, which I'm sure many of you here will be very familiar with. Look at the Redeemed Church. Let's take that as an example, okay? Now, a pastor here planted the church here. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Now, what has happened? Now, many people are coming. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
But a few have had a little bit more input into them, who have now gone on to do what? Plant other churches. Hello? And what happened is that the depth which he has been poured into those ones, and they become deeper in their relationship with God, that they're able to draw a lot more people to them, and that his own depth is now being what?
Widened.
Is that not so?
Yes, sir.
But you know, you can sit here as president, founder, CEO, which other one do you have? GO and EO and EO and AR. You can have all of them. You sit on there, and everybody is coming and singing your praise, a huge, huge crowd. But there's no depth. As soon you go away, and it becomes like the morning mist that is quickly forgotten. May God deliver us from that in Jesus' name. The second commitment is commitment to the process. Commitment to the process. Mentors must develop a process mentality. When you are growing up or learning new skills, what happens? Sometimes you are like a pinball that is being, you know, thrown up and down the whole place, all over the place, until you're able to grasp what is being taught, isn't it? Hello?
Yes.
Learning and growing is a process. Don't expect your proteges to mature overnight. Give them time. Amen? Give them time. Give them time. If you are to go from point A to D, remember that you have to pass through B and C. It's a step. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. And you can eat a whole elephant starting with just one bite, isn't it? So, be committed to the process. And the third one is commitment to the purpose. Commitment to the purpose. What is the whole purpose of mentoring? Do you know somebody? Now, let me ask you this. Is there anybody here, when you are growing up, or at some point in your life, somebody saw some potential in you and came alongside you and said, "Well, I can see this potential in you. I really want to help you along." Anybody experience that? Okay, some of you. Is there anybody here who has seen a potential in somebody else and have gone alongside them to help them and encourage them? Anybody? Okay, still a few people. But now, can I tell you something? There are some people you don't see any obvious talents in them. You don't see any obvious abilities in them. Hello? Is that not true? But the thing is this. Every single person has a purpose. And God has endowed every single person with something. So it's for us to work with everyone to draw that out and help them to be the people that God will have them be. Think of Moses. Think of Moses. Moses was a man in the Bible. Before he was born, there was no prophecy about his life. There was no dream recorded. No angelic visitation. Or was there any?
None.
Nothing was said about him. And in fact, he was born in the most difficult time. Yet, when he was born,
the parents looked at him and said, this is a goodly child. This is a proper child. We will keep him, we will invest in him, and he will be a battle axe and a weapon of war in the hand of God. And they did not know how to do that. Let's have eyes to see potential in our young people. God bless you.
We'll take a short break and then we'll continue. So we just finished looking at the three basic commitments of being a mentor. Now we're going to carry on by looking at gifts mentors give. Mentors are givers. But what sort of gifts do they give to their proteges, to their mentees? Number one, Tim Elmore tells us that one gift that mentors give is the gift of accountability. Accountability. Hold your proteges accountable for the commitments they have made. Hold them accountable for it. And part of holding them accountable will require you asking them tough questions pertaining to their commitments. Don't be afraid to ask tough questions. Husband and wives, ask each other tough questions. Hold each other accountable. Hold your children accountable. Hold your proteges accountable for the commitments they have made. The second one is that of affirmation. 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 How many of you like hanging about with critics? People always criticize you, are telling you all the things you are doing wrong.
No.
Anybody here?
No.
Yeah. Maybe if you do that, it will help you look fresh like Sister Mofeg here. Praise God. Affirmation. Regularly speak words of encouragement. Regularly speak words of encouragement, acceptance, and support to your proteges. Affirmation is so important. When you affirm people in who they are, you affirm their person, it shows that you've received them and accepted them for who they are. Is that not so?
Yeah.
You know, we are not in a world where value is placed on people based on what they're able to do or what they're able to achieve. Isn't it? God does not place value on us like that. You know the value that God has placed on you? Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you Jesus? You are not.
No.
Do you qualify? No, you don't qualify. But he qualified you by his love.
Amen.
Amen. But in the world, you have to have lots of money, or you have to be beautiful, or handsome like me. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. You have to be full of brains or has to do something extraordinary in order to be valued. Isn't it?
Yes.
Even the children's books teach them that.
Yeah.
You remember Dumbo the elephant? Hello?
Hi.
Yeah. He was such a horrible elephant, wasn't he? But he was able to fly with his ears. Then he became a superhero. Isn't it? What about the ugly duckling? Huh? Okay. What about those? What about the red-nosed the reindeer? What about the hunchback of Notre Dame? He was a nobody. Nobody liked him. Nobody wants to see him. He was completely nothing. Until he performed the act of deliverance, and he became a superhero. The world is telling our young people, "You are nothing. You are nobody except you do something spectacular." But they are counting on you to help them discover their real value and worth, which is actually in God. Amen. So that those words of affirmation are so important. Regularly speak words of encouragement, acceptance, and support. Reinforce their strengths and good choices. Reinforce it. Their strength. Every young person has got some strength. They may make 1,000 wrong choices, but there's one good choice they will have made. reinforce that. Amen. Assessment. Assessment. Help them, you know, to gain perspective from an outside viewpoint by objectively evaluating their present state. Objectively evaluate their present state and give them an assessment of what you see. That really helps to track progress, and it helps the people along. You know, I don't know about you. You know, sometimes you might have been on something for, you know, you might have been on an issue for a long time, for a year or so. You think, oh gosh, I don't seem to be getting anywhere with this. I don't know what's going to happen. How long will I have to carry on like this? Only for somebody to walk, come along, somebody who you haven't seen for a long time, the person comes along and notices the changes in your life. Something you haven't even seen. Say, man, there's something I can see. And the person says, man, come on, stop kidding me. He said, honestly, I can see. Hello? Who knows what I'm talking about?
Yes.
I suddenly realized that, oops, so all this sweating and squatting hasn't been in vain. You get that? So it's really important to have, you know, that kind of assessment from an outside viewpoint, which every one of us need. We all need extra eyes, don't we? We do. So let's really be that, you know, for our young people. The fourth one is advice. Advice. The scripture said that he that keeps company with the wise will become wise, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Give wise counsel. Psalm 1, which was referred to when we started later on. Yeah, remember the plant in the Pastor Ronke's presentation. You get that? Blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the
ungodly.
Oh, so don't give any counsel if you're ungodly. But I know you all are godly people. So give counsel. Amen. Advice. Admonition. But if I may just go back a bit on advice. Hello?
Hello.
Hello. You know, sometimes people come to you, they say something, yap, 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 but they say something and they keep quiet. And what happens? You take your seat. You say, my son, just sit down, let me give you a download and an upload. No. Sometimes not even a single word is expected from you. All is needed is a listening ear. Or a word of acceptance. Exactly. So pay attention to that. Then admonition. Admonition. Speak words of caution and warning. Speak words of caution and warning. Help your proteges. Enable them to avoid pitfalls they might not see clearly. Sometimes they don't see those pitfalls clearly because they are simply young. You have the benefit of your maturity, of your hindsight, isn't it? So warn them about those ones. Help them to avoid those pitfalls which they may not see clearly now. And you know, for this to be effective, hello?
Hi.
For this to be effective, you must have won their confidence. Because they may want to do something, and you're telling them, no, 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 don't go this way. This is not really right. They say, it's at it again, you know. And they still go and do that thing. But when they have won your confidence, they may not even see what you're saying. They may not even agree. But out of respect, they say, well, look, I don't, well, okay, if you say so. You get my point?
Yeah.
That's it. And that is a pattern in the scriptures. The Bible gave children only one command. If you find another one, tell me. Only one. He says to them to do what? That's it. And obey them. That's all. What the parents have learnt by experience, isn't it? What they have learnt by experience, the children should learn by nurture from them. Where the children are deficient in experience, that should be made up by you nurturing them. But if you have lost their confidence, you can't take them anywhere. Yeah? So let's be very, clear on that. Admonition. Sometimes they may actually need correction to keep them on the right and healthy path. So give it to them. Number six, assets. I love this one. I really, really love this one. This will get you out of your seats very quickly. Assets. Be a resource person for your proteges, for your mentees. Be a resource person for them. Be a resource person. Give, loan, or direct them to books, tapes, or ministry tools, or even personal contacts. Okay? Or even gifts and ideas. Be a resource person to them. Are we clear on this point?
Yes.
Very, very important. Because the truth is that there will be times when you don't have all the answers, but at least know where to get the answers. Know the right place to direct them. Don't tell them, oh, we're going to search the internet. You know, the internet now is the answer for some people to everything. Huh? No, it's not true. Number seven, the big one. Application. Application. I said, what have been learned become life-changing. You know, become life-changing lessons when a place to apply the truth is provided. When you learn something, that thing will only change your life when you put it into practice. So providing the right environment, the right atmosphere for them to put it into practice, challenging them to put it into practice. That's why I say that I love family. I love family. Family is fantastic. It's a laboratory where all your values are tested to the limit. The family. It's fantastic. Yeah? Isn't it? You know, you can come to church and deceive us. Shout all the loudest hallelujahs and do all the things. But I hope everybody knows who you are. Okay. Now let's go quickly. What is the role of a mentor? The mentor's role. The mentor's role. Now we're going to look at some, you know, should I call them word pictures? Okay, which could, you know, help us find these things. One is handles. Handles. A mentor should be a handle. I said, truth is more easily internalized when presented in a way you can grab. You can grab it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Not leaving it abstract. Make it concrete. Bring it down to their own level. You remember John chapter 21 verse 15? When Jesus was speaking to Peter, he said, "Lovest thou me more than this?" He said, "Yes, Lord." He said, "What?
Feed my lamb."
No. He said, "Don't forget the lambs." He said, "Lamb first."
Yes.
And then the second one was what?
Sheep.
The third one was? And that's adults. You have to pull their ears so many times for them to hear. For the children, just tell them, they will hear you. Okay, listen. Now, he says what? Feed my lamb. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Did he say feed my giraffes?
No.
Mm-hmm. But that's what a lot of us do. We always put the truth or put the fodder at the level of the giraffes, and the sheep can't get to it. So bring it down to the level they can get it. And for this same reason, I still insist that many young people in our churches have not heard the gospel. Why? Because it's not been presented to them in a relevant way, in a way they will understand. Come down to their level. Present it to them in a way they can, you know, grab it. Okay? So be a handle for them. Help them to be able to access truth. Number two, be a roadmap. Be a roadmap. Anybody use roadmaps before? There are so many things roadmaps do for you. They don't only show you the way, but they also show you alternatives. Isn't it?
Yes.
Hello? Roadmaps don't only show you one way to go, they show you different the alternatives, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, if you use route planner, hello, anybody here?
Yes.
I know you all have sat maps now. But listen, if you've used route planner before, it will even give you certain options to avoid certain areas.
Yes, yes.
Tall area, tall gates, and the rest of it, isn't it?
Yes,
and it will say fastest or quickest route.
Yes.
Is that not so?
Yes, sir.
Well, though, sometimes the fastest route is not really the right route. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, one good thing about road maps is this. They also show you the consequences of each choice you take. Is that not so? So, as mentors, we should be road maps for our proteges, showing them, let them, helping them to, you know, to consider the various options that are there, and guide them to make the right choice. And you train them in such a way that they will begin to make right choices themselves. Okay? There are 5 processes that facilitate spiritual growth in young people. In fact, in anybody at all. 1, the process that facilitates belonging to a faith community. The 2nd process is one that facilitates modeling on a member of the faith community, which is one we're talking about now, mentoring. The 3rd one is the processes that facilitate participation. So even when you are mentoring, you are getting... Remember, I say it's not a telling time, it's not a sermonizing or lecture time. It's a relationship, it's an interaction. So they are participating with you in the things we are talking about. The other process is the process that, you know, that really facilitates the Bible, yes, as what? Interpretation of life, the Word of God, using the Word of God as interpretation of life. The final one is the processes that facilitate exercise of personal choice. You cannot sit on your mentors and become them or they become you. You've got to guide them to the point where they're able to make their own choices. Help them to read the roadmaps of life, to know it and how to make the right choices. Is that clear? Is anybody perfect in doing this here? Can you see that? You don't have to be perfect in this before you do. We all can grow together, can't we? Let's go. Laboratories. So your own role, and I've said this so many times this evening, haven't I? Your own role is to provide a laboratory. I say sometimes a lab is what? A sounding board. A safe place to think aloud and express your concerns and doubts without fear of failing or being judged. Do you know what? You can be that laboratory for your own young ones. Where they can just come, they feel so comfortable, they feel so safe with you. They just come and share their own for just the way it is. Without thinking of themselves as being stupid or foolish. You get that? They're able to run their own ideas through you. They're able to share their minds freely, you know, with you. They say, what? Excuse me, did I hear right? You don't do that. You get that? So, you just be that laboratory for them. You know, in the ministry, when we do trainings, okay, I think Taranke did mention something about Bible lessons. During the course, there are certain things that everybody is helped to learn and to practice. So when you are preaching to your young ones, preach in the class first. Feel safe there. You can make all your mistakes, not feeling, you know, judged or condemned. You can be corrected and helped to perfect your skills and hone it in, isn't it?
Yes.
So that by the time you finish and you are out there, you're more confident to face whatever, you know, comes your way. Is that correct?
Yes.
That's a form of laboratory. In my own home, I don't know about your own family, but you know what? The truth is that all our families are laboratories anyway, whether we like it or not. But what kind of exercise are we providing for our own children? In my own home, I mean, we teach the Word of God, we share whatever thing, but we hold each other accountable also for what we are learning. That's one. Secondly, everyone, including my 8-year, well, she was not born when she was 8. She's not. She was born 8 years ago, that's why she's 8 now. That's the youngest one. You know? Everyone takes turn to bring the Word of God to us during our family devotion. That's a good practice ground, isn't it? They're so confident. Was it last week she came back home so excited, you know, feeling so on top of the world because she just led one of her friends in school to the Lord? The following morning she was so excited she couldn't wait. You don't need to remind her to take her Bible to school. It was the first thing that went into her bag because she needed to show the Bible. That one had it. That one said, can she see her Bible? And that one also. And look at the testimony of that her friend. After leading her to the Lord and they prayed the sinner's prayer, she said, I just felt like a heavy weight has been lifted off me. Another 8-year-old girl saying this. You get that? I don't even want to start talking about the older ones. I want to talk about the younger one. So that you know that each and every one of us can do these things. Now they feel comfortable. So that even in church, when there are programs, you're looking for somebody to share, to represent the children, they're confident to want to share. That's not their first time of sharing. They've been practicing that. Somebody came to my house and said, it's a Bible school. I said, well, glory be to God. That's what it should be. Amen. So let's be those laboratories for our own children. And when they make mistakes, you don't slap them over the head with their listen. You know, like a father said to the young child who is not learning quickly, say, what's the matter with you? You want me to get an axe and break your head and put this in inside? I say, yes, daddy, do it. That's a quicker way of learning. Some of you who have been doing adult education, that would be a quick way. Just break the head and put all the things in. Everything finished now. And everybody goes in. Roots provide stability. They provide stability. The taller, the deeper the roots, what happens? The taller the tree grows. Roots provide stability and security. When the wind is so strong and vicious, it's only the trees that have deep and wide roots that will survive. Is that not true?
Yes.
They are the only ones that will survive. And I tell you the truth, there are loads of harsh winds of life that will blow on our young ones. And the truth is that those heavy winds, those harsh winds, don't even wait for them to grow up. It starts blowing at them right from the time they come out of the womb. So we've got to be there to help them to take deep roots. And how do we do that? By speaking openly with them, consistently and lovingly. Okay? We have to do that. We have to do that. Telling them the truth in love. Tell them the truth in love. I say roots, you know, provide nourishment and connection with the past. They provide nourishment. Yes? So you be that source as well. And they also provide what? Connection with the past. I have a good news for you. Do you know you cannot fully mentor your young ones without connecting with their families? And never you think because they open up to you that you know them better than their families. You just don't. You've got to connect with their families. I'll leave that, you know, for you to work out according to the program you have, you know, for your young ones. And we are to be wings. 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 Wings help our young ones to soar high and see beyond the horizon. Give them wings. Give them that encouragement. And be happy to see them overtake you in life. Is there any parent who does not want their children to become greater than them? Any reasonable parent prays that prayer for their children. And any expert in any field takes greatest delight when their own students become the excellent ones. Look, let that person, whenever the history is written, their name will be there.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
So help them to soar high and be those wings, you know, for them. And finish the race with them. Finish the race with them. Run the race. Finish it with them. You remember the story of Derek Redman and his dad, Jim Redman? How many of you watched the Olympics, 1992 Olympics? Yeah? That's it. The 1992 Olympics. Listen, the 1992 Olympics. Remember when the British athlete, you know, was running and pulled a muscle. I mean, damaged his leg. Remember that one? And the dad, he was hopping. I mean, the guy was leading the race when that happened. And he was hopping. And how, of course, that was the end of the thing. But no, that wasn't the end for him. He continued hopping. His dad ran down from the stands and went to it. And the officials were trying to stop the dad from going to the track. He brushed them aside and he went and was like a clutch now for his son. The son leaned on him. And both of them hopped to the finishing line. Do you know? I would never forget it. I watched that live on television. Do you know that at the end of that race, the person that even won the gold is not even remembered, was not even talked about. The camera moved away from the finishing race to those two people, that man and his son on the track. So much, so many books have made reference to them. So much articles have been written about them. He didn't give up. He hopped on that leg. And the dad was there supporting him. What do some people do? Wow, even you blow it. Oh my God. All this effort. Oh my God. Baby. This opportunity comes. Some people do that. But now, a good mentor will come in there. This race, we have begun it together and we are going to finish it together. And I tell you, friends, some of the young people you will encounter will need that. Some of them just need very little push. Some, you really have to go all the way. Let us not be weary in well doing. For in due time, we will reap the reward. And the Lord is on our side. Amen.
Amen.
Now, who is qualified? Who is qualified to be a mentor? Is anybody here qualified now?
Yes, sir.
Hello? Can I ask again? Is anybody here now who is qualified to be a mentor?
I am qualified.
Amen. I mean, the Lord qualified, you are qualified.
Amen.
Now, let's all cast our minds back to your own life when you were growing up. Can you think of people other than your own parents that influenced you the most? Just think for a moment. Don't even write. Just everybody, just close your eyes. No, not the transcendental meditation now, okay? Just a little. Just a minute. Just close your eyes and just think for a few seconds. Apart from your parents, can you think of anybody else that only influenced you powerfully? You can open your eyes now. Amen. Were there any such people?
Yes.
Apart from your parents?
Yes.
Okay. What were their qualities? What qualities did they have that, you know, impacted you the most? Can you write it down? Or maybe even write maybe one or two names down of people that really impacted you the most. Can you do that very quickly? If there's anybody apart from your own parents that really impacted you, influenced you, you know, influenced your life the most, just write it down. They could be teachers you encountered in school. It could be friends. It could be uncles. It could be some stranger you met. The one that really, really influenced you the most. Not Jesus now, okay, and the apostles. Okay. Okay. If you want to write a saint, you can put Saint Chooks, okay? Okay. Number two, can you write some of the qualities that those people possessed that impacted you the most? What were the qualities of your own lives that really impacted you the most? What qualities? In fact, you can make your list in two columns. One that says attitude and the other one says aptitude. Attitude and aptitude. Put your answers in two columns. Attitude and aptitude. Attitude, you know what that is. Aptitude is talking about their skills, their expertise, and all those kind of stuff. Okay? Put your answers in two columns. And what was it that they did or had? What was it that they did or had, you know, that attracted you to them and opened you to their influence? Yes, include that into your list. What was it they had or did that attracted you to them and opened you to their influence? Still on those two columns, attitude, things to do with their attitude, or things to do with their aptitude. include, make your list. Aptitude. Is it attitude? One column to do with attitude. What is something about their attitude? Or is it something about their aptitude? Aptitude, their skills, their abilities, you know, all those kind of stuff. Okay? Their special skills, being professors in whatever thing. You know, being experts, you know, they're best in the field. You know? Maybe that is what it was really. So let's look at those things. Anybody still writing? Has everybody finished? Pens down if you finished. Okay, we're not writing an exam now. Now, quickly. Can you shout out some of the qualities? Now, can anybody mention anybody? Let's start with that. Anybody that, apart from your parents, that really influenced you, influenced your life? Anybody?
My auntie.
Your auntie?
My uncle.
Your uncle?
My niece.
Your niece? That's very good.
My friend. My brother.
Sorry, who is?
My friend.
Your friend?
Pastor.
Your pastor? Yes, well? And your brother at law as well. Any more?
A character on the telly.
A character on the telly?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Any more?
Yes.
Now, let's.
Bishop. Huh? Bishop. He was not my pastor, but he was my spiritual father.
Your spiritual father?
Yeah.
Now, you call him a spiritual father because of certain input.
Yeah.
Not because they have a position.
No.
A position doesn't make somebody a spiritual father.
That's why I said it wasn't.
It's their influence. Now, what was it about them? Now, what was it about them that really impacted you the more, that drew you so close to them, that opened you up to their influence? Can you mention some of their characters, some of the qualities, some of the things? Sorry?
Perseverance.
That's very good. Now, perseverance, is it an attitude or aptitude?
It's an attitude.
Good. Good. Any more? Say that again. Is that an aptitude or attitude? It's an attitude, isn't it? Excellent. No. It's attitude. Okay, any more? Come on. Sorry?
Hardworking.
Hello? The person for her was really hardworking, and that really got her attention. Now, was that an attitude or an aptitude?
Attitude.
Now, any more? Sorry? Punctuality. Is that what you're saying? That's fantastic. That's a great aptitude, isn't it? No, it's an attitude.
What about goodness and confidence?
That is an attitude.
Word.
Hello? Any more?
Word life. The person's word life.
Yeah, word life.
Yeah,
being rich in word and being, you know, study. Okay.
Vast in
scriptures.
Yeah.
You can put that to aptitude.
Okay?
Well, he has a good attitude. A good attitude that brought about that. Any more?
Problem-solving
skills is something you develop. You need a good attitude to do that, but you need some aptitude as well.
Managing conflict.
Sorry?
Managing conflict well.
Managing conflict management. Okay, that's a good aptitude. But now, if you look at your list, the most likely thing is that you have more on the side of attitude than you have on aptitude.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Can you see that? We all now qualify. Everybody here now qualifies, huh?
Yes.
You don't have to be a prof in nuclear science or rocket science to be a mentor. Is that not so?
That's right.
That which you have, what mentorship is saying is what? Share it with somebody else.
Yes.
And it all starts with attitude. It all starts with attitude. Amen. Can you see that?
Yes.
Your list will contain more things like, you know, integrity, sincerity, commitment, consistency, yeah? Wisdom, which includes problem solving skills and the rest of them. Yes, and being able to apply the scriptures, because there are many people that know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but they don't know how to apply it.
That's right.
Very, very important. You know? Okay. So, and then what about things like love? You have love.
Mm-hmm.
Generosity and perseverance. Hello? Can you see that this job, this work is a bit easy, isn't it? Well, it's not really easy, but the grace of God is more than enough. It is more than enough. Now, you think about those people again. Hello? Think about them. Could there be people, you know, that really cared? That just cared. They didn't have to do what they did. They just cared. Hello? Is that not so? They didn't have to do those things, but they did it because they cared. And they made themselves available. You cannot mentor effectively if you are not accessible. You are there, but you're not available. Busy bee. Huh? No. You have to be caring and you have to make yourself available. And there are people who shared their experience of dealing with issues that really matter in life. Well, you've met people and interact with people that have dealt with issues that really matter in life. You know that they have what? They're qualified. They are authorities in what they are saying because they are speaking truly from experience. They are real. They're able to relate more with you in what you are going through. Isn't it? And do you know something? Except you are able to feel the pain of somebody else, you will not be able to comfort them effectively. Is that not true?
Yes, sir.
Thank God for Jesus. He was tempted. He suffered all the things we suffer. So, he's able to succor us when we are in trouble. He is with us. Amen. 9 tips. Get started. Find somebody you can mentor. Sign up for the mentoring program that has been started in the church. Do it now. The sooner you start, the sooner you begin to reap the rewards. Be creative. Be creative in your mentoring. I say regular times and days, you know, we suit the chronologically challenged. You know, but you can actually meet with the people you are mentoring in a very informal place. It could be in a coffee place, in a restaurant. Okay? But be careful the one you take them to, not junks. Amen. I'm not naming any names. Share a hobby. You can share a hobby. Do you know you can even go bungee jumping? Ooh. Or skydiving? Or deep sea swimming? Coral reefs? You can play tennis. You can share walking or jogging or anything. You say with a young person? Of course. Christian mentoring is not all about, you know, memorizing from Genesis to Revelation. It's also about building relationships. And this was something that Jesus gave us good example for. So share a hobby. Share a task. Share a task. You can share a task with them. It could be anything. The task could be anything. From doing DIY or doing some projects in the community, visiting a homeless or whatever thing. Share a task. Or even helping out in the soup kitchen or something. Just share a task. Or even just taking them to trainings. Both of you attending trainings, you know, together. Or even meetings. Just share things. This is one thing, you know, there's one tradition that the Igbos have. In the traditional setting, when the man is going for meetings, you know what he does? The son, the other son, carries his bag for him. Okay? or one of his sons will carry his bag for him. And then when they get to that meeting, the man is sitting with the other elders and they all are talking and chatting. And the boys are there on the corner, they are playing and just paying attention for when they are called to do whatever thing. Do you know what is going on there? Though the boys, they may be around doing whatever thing, they're not like part and parcel of that meeting, but they are seeing how things are done, how solutions are, how problems are solved, how issues are dealt with in the community. And soon it will become their own turn, and it carries on like that. So the handover from a father to the son is a lifelong thing. It's not when you are done, you say, well, I'm tired now, I've worked so hard. My son's gone, let me tell you what to do. No, by then it's too late. The real character that will carry what you want to give them is not there. But when you have taken them along the journey with you on that very journey, it makes it a lot easier. Amen? So let's learn from that. And the Jews do the same thing too. Listen. 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 How many mouths do we have?
One.
Hello?
One mouth.
How many do we have?
One mouth.
And how many ears?
2 ears.
So God, even from his own design, tells us that we should listen more.
Yes.
And talk less. Isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so listen. Then be real. Be real. Yes, I've said this before, that honesty makes you vulnerable. But what does it do? It helps you to be real, and it gets the job done. It gets the job done. Number 7, experiment. 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 You never know what's going to work. Be prepared to experiment. You know, and be open, you know, with your to your proteges. So you can work together, they can even listen to music together and talk about it, or even share certain movies. But you have to be selective. It's not every movie. You don't go about, you say, well, the first billboard we see, we'll go watch that movie. No, you have to be selective. Amen. You have to be selective. In fact, that's something somebody did in our church recently. You know, this is a couple, right? A couple that they don't even have their own children. They don't. They don't have their own children yet. They're still trusting God. The lady is 50. Okay? And we're still trusting God. There's nothing impossible. But you know, and they're in the worship team in the church. And most of the members of the worship team in our church are young people. I mean, that's something really, really special about, you know, about our church. Very, very, when I say young, really, really young. For example, my daughter is 15, and she's the one that plays the keyboard. She's the main keyboardist, you know, in the church. There are others that play, you know, that can play in bands and all that, but she is the main one, you know. And, of course, my 12-year-old, that's in Kechi, is there. My son wants the PA system or with all the whatever thing that, you know, so if he doesn't like what you say, you can switch it off anytime he likes. you get that? So with all of those people, the bass guitarists and the drummers and all those very young people. So recently what they did was to bring all those young people for a sleepover in their own house. In my family, in my own home, we have very, very strict rules on sleepovers. It's something we don't even talk about it. You get it? But there are some exceptions. And then they had a very good program, you know, this couple, what they did. They love their movies. And there are some very, very good Christian DVDs, character building DVDs, and they have so many. And they watched about 6 of them throughout the night. The young people refused to sleep. So as they're watching, they're talking and pointing to, you know, to things. You get my point?
Yes.
Do you know that one, in fact, all of them were looking forward to going there. And they even went with their sleeping bags. You know, the things. But the house is not big enough to take everybody. But then we are very... My son just had an operation on his knee in rugby. Mm-hmm. You know? He didn't sleep on any bed, anything. He stayed on the reclining chair. And he stayed... In fact, he himself didn't even sleep. They looked forward to it. They enjoyed the experience. Just that one encounter is more than any 10 sermon that those couple might have sat them down and started doing. You understand what I'm saying? Be creative, experiment, you know, be prepared to be challenged. Then if something is not working, pull the plugs very quickly. Is that clear? Okay, keep a record. But this is so invaluable. Keep a record. Write down what you talk about each week. Write them down. Write down the prayer needs. Suggestion, you know, actions. You know, topics discussed. Write those things down. Every now and then, read back those things that you have written. It's such a fantastic experience. Anybody here that does journaling? When you do journaling, you will appreciate what I'm talking about here. You know? And one good thing about writing things down is this. When you've read back the things you have written over a period of time, and you begin to pick out recurring themes, that tells you where the key needs are in the life of the people you're mentoring. Is that not so? Okay. And you writing them down also helps with evaluation. Then, the final one is celebrate. Celebrate. Have you come across any young person that is fed up with celebration?
No.
Celebrate the beginning of the mentoring. Celebrate the end of the mentoring. Celebrate it. And you don't have to throw a big party. It's something very simple. Celebrate it. Though, you may have difficulty with, you know, celebrating the beginning. Some people feel, oh, it's such a big thing. They become nervous, you know, nervous about it. But it's easy to deal with. It actually helps people to relax and excited about what's going to be happening. And celebrating the end may be difficult for the mentorings that didn't end well. Hello?
Hi.
Can you hear that?
Yes, sir.
So please, some, in fact, majority will end very well.
Amen.
But you may come across one or two that may not end very well. Celebrating it may be a bit challenging, but be prepared for it. Amen? But celebrating the end of it helps to bring a closure. Okay? It helps to bring closure to it. So, now we are going to move very quickly to the do's and don'ts of mentoring. The do's and don'ts of mentoring. Now, I start with the do's. The do's and don'ts of mentoring. Number one of the do's. Review your protégés, your mentees' biographical sketch. Now, you may wonder what this is. It's a very, very simple form that has their name, their address, and their interests. And you could also suggest to them for them to tell you the topics they want you to talk about. When you are mentoring, you are not the only one that sets the agenda for mentoring. It's a shared thing. Is that clear? It's a shared thing. So that simple form will have told you who they are, their names, their address, and the age, and you know, all those kind of stuff. You know, and if you're going to be mentoring more than one person at a time, it's better you do people of similar age and interests. They may be similar age, but their interests may differ. It's better you find out what their interests are, you know, and you can then, you know, do it all together. So review their own biographical, you know, sketch, and let them review your own too, so that they get to know you. And then take responsibility to initiate a relationship. Okay? That's the first one. Review your... Then, I say take responsibility to initiate the relationship, and then foster creativity and independence. Foster creativity and independence. It's very important. Don't make your proteges to be completely dependent on you. It's a bad relationship. So foster creativity and independence. And set aside time for the mentoring process and keep all appointments. Be committed to it, basically. Then display godly behavior and dress. Okay? Display godly behavior and dress. Set aside time for the mentoring process and keep all appointments. Don't make appointment with them and then you don't show up. Keep all appointments. Be disciplined. Let not the weather be an excuse. Or the side of the bed you woke up from. That shouldn't be an excuse. Display godly behavior and dress. Because when they begin to really trust you and do things, quickly some of the things you do, they begin to copy as well. Even your dressing. Okay? When you say where they're old enough to make their choices, that's why they are needing you as a mentor. Schedule meetings with planned topics. Don't get there and say, okay, what are we going to do today? Schedule meetings with planned topics. And be positive and enthusiastic and supportive. Be positive, enthusiastic, and supportive. Sometimes it's your own enthusiasm, your own, you know, it's your own zeal that will motivate them to keep going. It's your own enthusiasm that will actually give them a reason for carrying on. Right? That's very important. Be a good listener. Be a good listener. Then establish open and honest communication and a forum for idea exchange. Establish open and honest communication. This is so important. You may be the last line of defense for your protege. Be there to tell them the truth. Be truthful. Don't worry who is going to get hurt and what the impact may be. Truth can never be argued against. And have a forum for idea exchange. It helps them to mature very quickly. Maintain confidentiality. I think I've talked about this before, and I'm not going to. In fact, you cannot even overemphasize this. And listen, you've gone out, maybe you're not mentoring, you're mentoring somebody that is not your own child, and you've gone out and you've heard something from them, and then you come and share with your own family. Right? One of your own children could be the one to talk about that thing now. If you're able, if you need someone, if you seriously need someone to even pray that topic over with, let it be your spouse or somebody like that. Or the leader, the coordinator of the mentoring scheme. And we share it with them, then we'll be able to get proper direction for it. Please, please, protect those ones. They are open to you, protect them. Let's not be flippant. Be flexible on meeting times and places. Be flexible. You don't say, well, 12 o'clock on Saturday, that's when we meet. And that's where we meet. And something happens and you say, oh, can we meet maybe, you know? No, you've got to be consistent. It's 12 o'clock on Saturday. No. Be flexible, okay, on the meeting times and the place where you meet. Then offer to share resources, expertise, and experiences. In other words, be an asset. Be a resource person. Then provide opportunities, you know, for the protege to talk about concerns and ask questions. Be there for them. I know for young people, if you're not there for them, they will look for somebody else. And where they will be going to may not be the right place for them. So be there for them. Be found to be dependable. Don't be a broken leg in the day of emergency. Hello? you may come across issues that are difficult to deal with. You don't have the answer. You don't have to have an answer to everything you encounter. But at least know when to ask for help. For yourself or for the person you're mentoring. Is that clear? Know when to ask for help. Don't tell to them, well, and this is one thing with young people. If you don't know, say you don't know. Then look for answers. Don't think that if you say you don't know, that they'll begin to look down on you. It's not true. Because if you tell them the wrong thing and they let them find out the right one, forget it. You've lost them. Keep your church coordinator updated in whatever you do, whatever the experiences are. There will be a feedback, procedure. Always keep them updated. Then the don'ts. Don't criticize. Don't criticize. And don't try to solve the protégé's problems for them. No. Work alongside them. Help them. But don't even try to give advice on everything. Yeah? And you don't encourage your protégé to be totally dependent on you. This is disaster. You remember the story of Joash in the Bible? I think it's in is it First or Second Chronicles 26. You know where Joash lost his parents when he was one, and his auntie, the wife of the high priest, took him. And the high priest was Jehoiada. Those ones trained him, kept him safe for 6 years. By the time he was seven, he became king. And the Bible says that all the days of Jehoiada, Joash did what was right in the sight of God. But when Jehoiada died, some people came and sang the praise of Joash. His mind turned. The whole nation turned back to idolatry. He became wicked. But when God sent messengers to tell them, to warn them against their ways, they didn't listen. Eventually, God sent Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, a young man that Joash would have grown up with in the same house, to tell them to turn away from their wicked ways. The elder demanded that Zechariah be stoned to death, and Joash did nothing. Imagine that. Your protégés will not be like that. Amen. But when you're not even there, in fact, that meant the proper mentoring is you walking alongside them. And as you're walking, you are giving them more distance, and they're able to carry on the journey by themselves when you're long gone. Don't complain about your own problems. Now, anybody here who is into counseling will probably know what I'm talking about. They have their own problem, they come to you and say, is that all you have? Can I sit down? Let me tell you my own problem. No. They already have enough, okay? Don't be too busy when they need your friendship or support. Don't take responsibility for the protégé's programs or duties. Don't take responsibility for that. They have to learn to take responsibility for their programs or duties. And don't live their lives for them. In fact, this is a simple way of summarizing most of the things we've said so far. Don't live their lives for them. And never take over parenting responsibilities if those ones are not your own children. Don't take over parenting responsibilities. Not only should you not take over parenting responsibilities, don't undermine their parents. Not even by your word, your silence, or your gestures. You know, sometimes you don't even say anything. Yes? You know some of those quiet codes, those coded silences, and your gestures. Don't undermine their parents. Be there as a co-worker with their parents. Please. And don't think that everyone in your group will immediately be friends. That is not your primary responsibility. To bring people together and make them friends. No. They all may not immediately become friends. Some, they'll just strike it the first meeting. For some, it will take quite a long time before they can become friends. So don't think that will happen. And then don't judge your group members people you are mentoring. Don't judge anybody based on their backgrounds or their ideas. Don't judge anybody, even by their own appearance or whatever. Don't judge anybody. Don't sit on the seat of judgment over anyone. Of course, you will always tell the people the truth and guide them. And don't share anything that others tell you in confidence. Again, the same point that has been coming up again and again. Don't betray confidence. And don't be late for group meetings. When you're going to be meeting with your protege or the other people in the group, don't be late. In fact, make it a habit to be there before them to welcome them. Okay? Try to be there before them to welcome them. Don't wait for them to be there and then they see you coming. Or say, uncle is coming. You better run and help him carry his leg. No. Don't forget about your group when you get busy with other things. Always keep them in your mind. Don't forget them. It's so easy to do. I don't know about you guys in Manchester here, but in London, it's easy. In fact, here, everywhere, it's easy. I mean, it's so easy to forget. But don't forget. And don't always meet with your group in the same place. Think of new and creative places where you can meet. Vary your meeting place. You know, so that it doesn't become too familiar. Okay? You want to take that, you know, let there be expectations. And don't ignore messages from others in your group or the program coordinator from the church or wherever it's coming from. Don't ignore messages when they come to you. And don't hesitate to tell your church coordinator if your group is not meeting. So, don't put your name down and you're mentoring some people and it's there on the register that, oh, Mr. Stevens is mentoring Timothy and Philip. Only to find out that they think you're not even meeting. That is not on. Please, please. In fact, it will reflect badly on you if you do not tell your group coordinator. It's better you tell them for your own sake and for the sake of those people you are mentoring. If you love those people, tell your group coordinator. You may need help. But if you don't need help, those people do need help. They do need a mentor. And don't forget to ask others in your group what they are interested in. Find out what the interests are. And don't be afraid to ask questions that you think are silly or unimportant. Don't be afraid and encourage them to be free to ask questions. And don't forget that frequent communication is key to successful mentorship programs. Okay? Frequent communication is key to successful mentorship. So don't forget that. And I have one more thing for you. Please, do it when? Now. But one thing you must not do actually is don't go off with your proteges. I forgot to mention that. Don't go off with the people you're mentoring and start a church. Amen. Did I hear an amen on that? And then? When should we do our mentoring? Hello? When should we start?
Now!
Okay, so we better start now. For now is the day of... Today is the day of salvation. And we must walk while it is day. For the night comes, we no man can. God bless you.
If you've been blessed by this message, don't hesitate to contact us at www.theshepherdsministries.org. Thank you for listening.